Today's message is entitled, Only Leaves. A couple of Sundays ago, we ministered from Hosea 14 and 8, From me is thy fruit found. We talked about the leafy Christians and that the Lord would not only give us shelter, but He would give us fruit. And that even though it was our fruit, it was from the root of Jesus Christ. Then we said that the source of the fruit, the life, was the Lord, and the root was Jesus Christ, and without that we would have no fruit. Because without Jesus we can do nothing. We are what? Fruitless. Today let's enter into Mark 11 and 13. He found nothing but leaves. I started to read on the miracles of Moses, and I thought, what a heavy and a grand display of divine justice. The first 10 wonders were 10 plagues. And the same may be said of all the prophets of the Old Testament, especially Elijah and Elijah. And look at the character of Elias when he called fire down from heaven upon the captains of 50s. And so also the one to whom the mantle descended was no less terrible. And I thought, oh, I am so glad that we're under the brand new covenant, the brand new way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So glad that Jesus took charge. So glad for the grace message. So glad that His everlasting love is everlastingly there. But see, it remained for the incarnate Lord to reveal the heart of God. Listen to this in Luke 9, 51 through 56. And it came about when the days were approaching for His ascension that He resolutely set His face to go towards Jerusalem. And He sent His messengers ahead of Him, and they went and entered the village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for Him. And they did not receive Him because He was journeying with His face resolutely towards Jerusalem. And when His disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But He turned and rebuked them and said, You do not know what kind of a spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. And He went on to another village. And before that we go on in the Christian walk, before that we go on, we must fully understand sometimes a lot of folks are of the wrong spirit. They want to call fire down upon people that don't agree with them totally. But we first, before we go on, must understand God's grace. You can't even grow. That's why there are so many things that aren't growing now. And that's why the Christians are not growing a lot of times, because they're under a law. Sometimes when we preach that we're under grace, we're halfway under grace and we're halfway under law, and we're always trying to come up with something. No, now we're going ring around the rosy again. And you're going to see in the Christian world the very same things that happened 12 and 15 years ago. They're going to be happening again. It's going to get your eyes off of Jesus Christ, the plan and purpose of the Lord, and it's going to get you off into something else. Watch it. Watch it. It'll do a ring around the rosy. We'll get back into the same old thing with the same old arguments. But yes, it took Jesus, the only begotten, who was full of grace and truth. And in His miracles, preeminently, God is set forth as love, pure love. And that's what the world needs to hear. Need to hear about the love of God. Need to hear about the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. They need to hear that like never before, and especially down here on the north side where God has sent us. Oh, we can give them a whole lot of teachings and a whole lot of this and a whole lot of that, and we could even pay their fare to a whole lot of seminars. They would learn nothing. They need to know that the love of God is for them. They need to know that they can be used of the Lord. How many are hearing this message today? Yes, with the exception of the miracle before us today, all of the miracles revealed His character, love. And indeed, this one is no exception in reality, but only in appearance. The raising of the dead and the feeding of the multitude and the stilling of the storm and the healing of all the diseases. And I thought to myself, what then are all these but displays of the loving kindness of God? Came to show us how much that He loved and how much that He cared. Does this not teach us that Jesus came forth from His Father on an errand of pure grace? No other way but pure grace. And so today let us rejoice that God sent His love towards us, because in due time Christ, it says, died for the ungodly. And yet, as if to show that Jesus the Savior is also the judge, one gleam of justice must come forth here today. And where shall that mercy fall? Notice it doesn't light down upon a man, but it lights on an unconscious, unsuffering thing, a tree. The curse, and I thought if it's one at all, didn't fall upon man or beast or insect, but the bolt of lightning, if you will, falls harmlessly upon a fig tree by the wayside. It was barren and perhaps no one's property, and so there is nothing lost but this withering mockery of a tree. But how great was the instruction, greater than all the trees that stood, because it gets us to thinking. Why was that tree, if it were, cursed? Isn't it a great instruction? You start to wonder and you start to, well, what is this? It's like, you know, no sin is forgiven, you know. Every sin is forgiven, but then they go against the Holy Spirit. And you get to wondering about that. And it gets to pondering the Scriptures. And you start to ask people and you start to search your own heart. When I read this about the Lord, with all His loving kindness He came with, and He looked down upon this tree and whambo! Down it went. I thought, whew. Then I looked at the herd that ran violently over the cliff, and I thought, wow, let us out, don't do away with us. And He cast him into a herd of swine. Well, I thought, boy, that is mercy too. He could have put him off into the men, but He ran him off over the cliff. Besides, the Jews were not supposed to be raising pork anyway. And so here we see a lonely, solitary instance of stern judgment wrought about by the Savior's hand. And if it only happened once, we need to take a special notice. Did you hear what I just said there? If it only happened once, we need to take a very special notice. Well then, is this symbolic teaching? Yes, it's a symbolic teaching. Number one, it is a miracle parable, which means spiritually that false professors are very leafy, but they bring forth no fruit unto God, and when they don't, they are cursed. Someone that has a lot of leaves and no fruit. That's what it brings forth. Only one thunderbolt, and that for the boasting pretenders. Only one curse, and that for hypocrites. No, wonderful Holy Spirit, be with me today as I preach this message. Anoint me with the power of the Holy Spirit, and God have it come forth in the unction of the Holy Ghost. And so let's notice first here, there were many trees with leaves only upon them, and yet none of them were cursed by the Savior, only this one fig tree. It's the nature of many trees to yield to man nothing but leaves for shade for them to sit under. God doesn't do anything to them, the oak or the elm, nor the fir or the pine. And He doesn't expect them to give forth any fruit. Nor did He give them a hard word concerning it. Or that they were pretending to be fruit-bearing trees. No, He didn't say a word to them. And so there are many lives and men's lives that bear leaves but no fruit, and yet God's patience bears with them. Are you hearing this today? And they are allowed to live out their time, bearing forth no fruit. And then, finally, they are cut down, it says, and burned. But while they are permitted to stand, no curse withers them. The long-suffering God waits to be gracious to them. And here today are some of the very characters who have leaves but no fruit. Look down here. Here's one right here. Right here is the leaf and no fruit. This one over here bending over has the fruit, and there's nothing. Leaves are nothing there. Look at that today as I preach this word out. And I thought as I got ready, how many are sitting in chapels all over this city, in fact, all over the world, and they're having some type of a humanistic preaching coming at them? Or they go to a large dome church full of formality and nothing else. I was in the cafe this morning and having a cup of coffee early this morning. And there was a woman sitting in there, meaner than all get out. She was mad because the priest wasn't there to give her communion. As if that was the biggest thing that ever was. I'm going to have to see her again and have to minister to her that that's done in remembrance of the Lord. Say amen, somebody. And what a way she was putting on as she was in that cafe there. What a noise she was making. But anyway, these people think that going into a place and sitting there for a certain prearranged amount of time does something. They come in and they sit down and they do their duty. They can hardly wait until it's over. And I thought, how many churches right now are dead like that? How many of them right now are just, you know, a lot of leaves, a lot of formality, but no fruit. Preaching all these things to all these people that know nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Mormonism. Oh, from the pit. Jehovah Witness. Oh, from the pit. Say amen, somebody. Whoa, and how they love to argue their doctrine. But I don't argue a doctrine. I right now witness for the Lord, and the Lord can do His own work. So you better believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, fella, and that's it. I don't argue with folks. Isn't that right, Ruth? We had one here the other day. Wanted to argue. Says, I don't argue with you. You must be born again. There is a heaven and there is a hell, and that's the way it is. And so here we are today, and I thought, you know, a lot of times people go into churches and they mistake formality for a spiritual worship. And they wave their things back and forth and their incense back and forth, and they go through the rituals and the high hats and the long gowns, and they go through all this. And what does it mean after all? Nothing. Are you hearing this? Then they're careful to have their infants sprinkled, and they don't even know why they're doing it. They haven't even searched the scriptures. They just say, can we have our baby baptized? They don't even know what it means. And they offer him their ignorant will worship, either in obedience to custom or a superstition, let's say, to ignorance. Well, what a thing this is. They do not ask, but they go through the performance while someone says prayers over their child. And they know nothing of the inward grace of the Lord. And when these poor souls come to the Lord's suppers, their thoughts go no further than the bread and wine or the hands that serve them. They don't know what that's all about either. Isn't that a shame? And they know nothing whatsoever of a real communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, we're ending the round right now. I am fearful. I mean of the Lord. We're in the last turn around the racetrack right now. And the Spirit of the Lord is moving. Hallelujah. And it's moving towards the salvation of men. Let's don't get off. Let's don't sidestep the issue. Let's lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, and let's stop learning, always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of knowing the Lord and what He's saying. Are you hearing this today? Yes, they know nothing whatsoever of the communion with Jesus, of the eating of the flesh, of the drinking of His blood. Their souls have proceeded as far as the shell, and they have never broken into the kernel of the message. It says in the Bible they have a name to live and that they are dead. They have a religion to show. They are a signboard like at a motel, but then you go in there's no motel. They're a well-set table without meat. Reminds me of that saying on TV, and I suppose you're getting tired of hearing it like I am, but it has spiritual meaning. Where's the beef? It's a nice bun, she says. Real nice. Yes, it is. The other one agrees. And she opens it up and she says, where's the beef? Where's the meat of the message? Later on, she gets a little mad, and the pastor is sitting out there all fat and sassy on a ship. Some kind of a boat out there fishing. She yells over the phone, where's the beef? I think you need to yell at a few pastors like that and knock them off. Over the guy goes. Ooh, and I thought all the millions that die satisfied with the outward trappings of religion. Compromising in the churches, 2 and 3 services, one for a certain type of people, one for another certain type of people, and one for the ones that are really going to go to hell. See, if you don't minister gospel to all creation, you're faulty. Oh, preacher, that's dangerous. Oh, there's going to come a judgment on preachers like never before. Are you hearing this? Ooh. And people are strangers to the, let's say, internal vital godliness. Yet such persons are not cursed in their life. But yet also they are to be pitied. They are to be prayed for. They are to be sought after with words of honesty and with truth and with love. They are to be hoped for because God may call upon them to repent. Don't judge yet. And then there's another very numerous class that have opinions, but they don't have faith. They have, let's say, a creed, but not a credence. We meet them all over, and they fight savagely for their doctrine. They have all the truth. They have this deep revelation. And I'm so sick of those cries of truth, truth from men that live rotten lives and have unholy tempers. Touchy know-it-alls. Ever been around a touchy know-it-all? And then they're suspicious of everything you say. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by this? Huh? Touchy know-it-alls. Well, I don't know everything. The Bible says know nothing. And so I stand before you here today knowing nothing. God might pump a few little things into my weak little brain, are you hearing it, so I can minister to you. It's not by might and it's not my power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Say amen, somebody. And the sooner we get to knowing that, the sooner the Lord's going to be able to use us. When I started to think, and I know this, that no doctrine can guarantee eternal life. There is no way but accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way but having His Spirit to fill you to overflowing that you can walk in any kind of power. The Bible says ye must be born again. Ye must bring forth fruits, meat for repentance, it says. Every tree which bringeth not forth fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. But these leafy trees only, and yet they are not cursed. They stand. Witness to them. See, the Lord may save them, because the time will come when the head knowers will be cursed. Those that know to do good and do it not is sin. Say amen, somebody. Then we're running into a third class that have talk without feeling. See, they're very talkative. They know this and they know that. And you can say, oh, that man knows a lot about the Bible, or that woman knows a lot about the Bible. And wow, they know a whole lot of things. And some of them even preach and teach, and they teach in Bible colleges even. And you can learn from them, but they are all lip and they are no heart. I mean, there's a lot of atheists preaching and teaching Bible. Say amen, somebody. Ooh. Then there's another group that have regrets without repentance. They regret what they've done. Oh, I've ministered to people that sat under the anointing and the power of God with a heart-searching sermon, and they felt grieved on account of their sins, and yet they couldn't give them up. And you say, I'm sorry, but they say they're sorry, but then they put themselves right back into their garbage cans again. They leave and they regret and they feel in their heart they've done wrong and everything, and they walk out of their church and they crawl right back in their garbage can and put the cover on again. Say amen. You people I'm speaking to, either on the radio, maybe here, or tape, you know that's very foolish. You know it is, but you go right back out and be tempted by the very same thing. It always gets you. I'm commencing to believe it's easy to bring a man to the river of regret, but you cannot make him drink from the water of repentance. That has to be a work of the Lord. Say amen, somebody. It's going to be done by prayer and fasting on a whole lot of folks. It isn't going to happen no other way. You can talk until you're blue in the face and your veins are popped out and you're weak in the knees. Ain't nothing ever going to happen until, and I know that ain't correct English, but that's the way I like to put it. Nothing's ever going to happen until you get out there and you start just praying for that person, praying and fasting and believing the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm preaching here today? And then we have another class of persons who have resolves without action. They will. I'm getting closer. I'm getting ready. They'll come into the church. I'll be back. I'm coming back. I will. And they say it. They will. They will. See, it's always in the future tense. It's kind of like when you ask people to do something in the church. Oh, I will. I promise I will. Down the line, when I clear this up, it's just about over now, huh? They are hearers. And they are even feelers, but they are not doers of the word of the Lord. What we need in the house of God is doers. They would be free, but they have not the patience to file away their fetters. Nor grace to submit their manacles to the hammer. They see the right, but they permit the wrong to rule them. They are charmed by the beauties of holiness, and yet they are deluded with the wantonness of sin. They would run in the ways of God's commandments, but the road is too rough and the running makes them too weary. Well, I'd like to, but it's too hard. They would fight for God, but the victory is hard won, and so they turn their back almost as soon as they have set out. They put their hand to the plow, but they make sure that they're sitting down when they do it. Give me the plow, give me the plow, give me the plow. And they want the plow, and they pick up the plow, but they're sitting down when they do it. I don't really believe them. All of a sudden, they keel over in the floor with a plow, and they lay there and just go to sleep. They really weren't serious at all. They're anxious when they first start out, and give me the plow, and they want to go, and they get about, 10 feet down into the earth, and they go across the field there, and they stop, roll over in the dust, and go to sleep. Say amen, somebody. That is not bearing fruit. Totally unfit for the kingdom. All excited at first. Then fall over in a dead heap in the middle of the field. Yes, the great majority of persons who come to churches bear leaves only and produce no fruit. Maybe a fruitless one is listening to me today. Beware of the axe. You listening? Beware of the axe. You listening on the radio? Beware of the axe. Because as sure as you live under the sound of the gospel, and you don't receive that gospel, and are not converted by it, so surely you will be cast out into outer darkness. If you come to church time after time after time, or you listen to radio messages or read tracts and do not receive the gospel, I tell you there's a time coming when you will be cursed and thrown into the fire with the rest of the dead branches. And as certainly as Jesus invites you and you will not come, so certainly will he send his angels to gather you up with the rest of the old dead wood and burn it up. Beware, you fruitless tree, you shall not stand forever. Say amen, somebody. Say, well, this is a pretty heavy message. I ain't done yet. And secondly, there were other trees with neither leaves nor fruit. And take a look right down here. And none of these were cursed. They didn't have anything. You know why? The time of the figs had not yet come. See, either the fig comes forth with first the leaf comes, or the fig comes, or they come together. And so that's safe because the time of the fig had not yet come. Say amen, somebody. Doesn't look like much, does it? Safe. Not so safe. Very safe. Getting kind of quiet in here. So you see, all the other trees had no leaves and no figs, the exception being this one. Jesus didn't curse any of them, for the time of the figs had not yet come. What the multitudes know nothing about Jesus. Did you know that? There's many people that know nothing about the Lord. I witnessed out here one day. I said, do you know Jesus? This woman said, no, I've never heard of him. And so they make no profession of it. They not only have no fruits of godliness, but they have no outward leaves either. They're that stick right down here in front of my pulpit. They know nothing about the church. They know nothing about prayer. They know nothing about Jesus. And although we see no leaves and no fruit, we know that the time of the figs is not yet. You know what? They are God's elect. Woo-hoo-hoo! Hear me. God's elect stands right there. The time of the fig has not yet come. Here it is. People separated almost. Amen, somebody. Ooh. They're not called yet. They're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb before the foundation of the world was even founded. They haven't been called. They've been redeemed. Their names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they have been there before the foundations of the world were even founded. And in due time, the most vile, the most perverted, the worst reprobates, the worst drunks, God's elect, will be saved. Say amen, somebody. And in the end, the low, base, perverted things of the world, God will save to confound the wise. Whew. When you take a word to them, they will receive it. Why? They were predestined to. They might not look like they receive it. You tell them about the Lord. You tell them about God came to save you. And oh, they get so mad. Oh, huh? They go back into the bar and they walk back into the bar. And they sit in the bar and they start thinking about that. And pretty soon they start preaching. And they start remembering little scriptures and they start getting into it. Whew. Huh? Maybe they're even there smoking dope. And they're in there and they're talking. They're half mad and they're half glad. Huh? Don't look like much, does it? You didn't look like much either, did you? They are redeemed, but they're not regenerated yet. They're marked. There's a mark on them. They belong to Christ by predestination. And they're waiting all over the city in flop houses, in jails, in bars, in whorehouses. Oh, it's disgusting! Disgusting! Well, where did God find you? Well, He could have found me in any one of those places. I ain't going to tell you which one either. But millions of the redeemed ones are not regenerated yet. They're walking all over the city. Marked men by the Lord. But regenerated they will be. They must be. When we go out with the word of God, wow, hallelujah, listen to what it says. Neither pray I for these alone, saith the great intercessor, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, the word we preach. That if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. And God gave them that word. Listen, neither pray I for these alone, saith the great intercessor, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Whoa, hallelujah. And you know, if that isn't heavy enough and that isn't high enough in God, I'll forget it. They do not pray for themselves. They know nothing about prayer, but Jesus prays for them. Do you believe that Jesus' prayers is answered? Their names are on His breast, and they will come, and they shall be my people.
The time of the figs is not yet. The predestinated moment has not struck. But when it comes, they shall, for God, say, come! And they'll be his own. Oh, that makes people mad. I mean, look at this stub here. Huh? What's he doing preaching? He's, it makes me mad. Listen to him! And who's doing the complaining? Old Leafy Head here. Oh, look good. No, there's a lot of folks that look good that aren't worth anything. Hey, are you hearing this message today? Woo-hoo! Are you hearing it? How many want to hear the rest of this message? Oh, come on, you better hear it. Oh, you mean this guy over here is greater than I am? Don't you judge, lest you be judged. In the same manner that you judge, you're going to be judged yourself. Did you hear that? Yes, I heard it! Oh, God, I thank you for your salvation, so rich and so full and so free. They must come. For the Spirit is not to be withstood when he cometh forth with his power. Did you know that Jesus, in the latter rain of the Holy Spirit, when the latter rain comes, there's going to come an awakening like you've never seen before. And it's just, sometimes I almost faint thinking about it. Sometimes I almost swoon thinking of the responsibility of talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ and his soon coming. Sometimes I stand and I feel most unworthy. They must become willing servants of the living God. My people shall be willing in the day of my what? Power! They shall be willing. Oh, you're not willing. Here's old Stubby. I'm not ready yet. I'm not willing. You will be willing in the day of his power. God puts his finger on you, fella. You're going to come up. And he can pull you right out of the bar. He can pull you right out of the flop house. And it makes them old-time Pentecostals so mad. Why do you talk like that? You're a Pentecostal. I know it. But I'm not a legal Pentecostal. I know what the power of God can do. And what it's done for others, he can do for you. Say amen, somebody. Oh, people hate this and they'll try to find something wrong. Ooh, get the tape. Pick it all apart. Dissect it. If you're not too cheap to buy it, get in there, you know. My people shall be willing in the day of my promise. And it is coming quickly. And it is going to come and it's going to surprise a whole lot of people. And they're going to get up and preach under the anointing and the power of God. Some of the low, base, perverted things of the world to confound the wise. And they're going to shake their old heads and say, oh God, what's this? Huh? The Bible says he shall justify many. The Bible says he shall see the travail of his soul. The Bible says he shall divide a portion with the great. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong. No curse falls upon these. And I hear the legalists, I hear them saying, oh, the leafy ones, not fair, not fair, not fair. Ah. Are you listening on the radio? I have three trees up here in front of me. One with no leaves at all and no fruit at all, just a stick. One in the middle with leaves and fruit, and one on the other side, all leaves. But no curse falls upon such like this. Well, they deserve it, people say. They
they've ruined more lives than they're good.
What prevents it? Eternal, everlasting, never failing love. Their sins write it, but the finished sacrifice blots it out. The blood covers. They may perish because they seek not mercy, but that doesn't matter. They don't even seek mercy. Oh, come on now. But Christ intercedes for them. And they shall live. Not fair, not fair, Leafy says. No, no, not fair, my God, that isn't fair. I've been going to church and I've been paying my tithe. Oh, not fair, oh, not fair. God, I'm a sinner, help me. Not fair. Oh. Hang in there. And also we have another class which never bring forth leaves or fruit. Some of those we have neglected. We have never presented the gospel to them, and I don't think we're clear of their blood. I think that God is going to deal with us. No curse falls on them in this lifetime, but they will inherit God's wrath, some of those folks. Some of those folks. Some of those folks. And let's go to the special group now, special forces. All leaves and no fruit. And, where there's leaves, shouldn't we expect some fruit? Shouldn't we? They're all leafy. They're all beautiful. They're all smiling and charming. Huh? Shouldn't there be some fruit there somewhere? Huh? No fruit. It's a special class. Special, special class. How many hearing this message today? In a fig tree, fruit comes before the leaves. And so it is with a Christian. Fruit always comes first. A true Christian never wants the fruit. Wants to be fruitful before leafy. Say amen, somebody. Don't you want to have your fruit first? So there's no mistake? So you're not counterfeit? See, when you get into churches and you try to pretend and be like the others, you pick up on their thing. You become leafy like they are. But I want the fruit to come first. And then the leaf. A lot of times we get ahead of ourselves and we want to look so good and we cram ourselves and we read everything that we can get our hands on and we try to, oh man, I got a leaf. Oh, so-and-so's leafier than I am. Woo-hoo! Huh? And that's the way people are taught. Oh, get into this now. There's little jewels and there'd be little packet books and they'd get enough scripture just to be dangerous. They know enough just to be dangerous and they got them all down pat in this book here, see? How to walk in hyper faith. And they walk around and they've got diapers on. Call fire down on them! Huh? And they get ahead of themselves. No, I want to see the fruit come. And then the leaf. Something happening after repentance. And also where we see leaves, we have a right to expect fruit. When I see a church member praying, I expect him to be seen in holiness and the character changing into the image of Christ. Don't we have a right to expect that? Isn't this a person that belongs to Jesus? When you join a church without taking upon yourself a very solemn group or even one responsibility, aren't you faulty? You claim that you have passed from death to life. We expect to see the Holy Spirit changing you. I don't think God produces hypocrites. If you have no love for souls, you are fruitless. If you never change, if you're void of compassion, if you show no mercy, if there's no wrestling with God, if there's no self-denial yet, and you say you are Christ's vessel, is it so? But also, let's observe here that the Lord is hungering after fruit. Doesn't a hungry person seek something which may satisfy him? Doesn't he seek after the fruit, not the leaves? Does he go and eat the leaves? Huh? No, he eats the fruit. Does he take the leaf and eat it? And why are you doing this? Because you'll never forget. Does he eat the leaf? No. He goes for the fruit. Hey, that ain't bad. But it ain't good either, is it? It's bitter. Sweet in your mouth and bitter in your belly. How many hear in this message today? Jesus hungers after holiness. He hungers for your good works. He hungers to see you useful. He hungers after your prayers. He hungers after you to have a concern for lost souls. After all, that's his cause, to save the lost. He says, go forth and multiply. And now this brings us to the end of this message. It brings us into the very midst and the meaning of the miracle. There are some who make the unusual profession and yet disappoint the Savior in his just expectations. They let him down. The Jews did this. When Jesus came, it was not the time of the figs. Not the time. And so there were just to be stubs, no leaves, no fruit. The time for great holiness was after the coming of Christ and the pouring out of the Spirit. And all the other nations were without leaves. Rome and Greece, no signs of progress. But take a look at this. The Jewish nations were covered with leaves. They had professed already that they have obtained the blessings before that he came. The ones that he brought, they said they already had. They stood with long prayers in the marketplace, the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers with their deep knowledge of the kingdom, and they said, we have the light. The time of the figs was not come, but yet they had leaves, but no fruit. And of course, the curse, as you well know, fell upon Israel. We have need of nothing. They were just like the New Testament church, Laodicean church. We are rich and have need of nothing. The Lord said you are miserable and wretched and poor. And the same is true of the church, full of lethargy, full of ritual, full of dead noise. Salvation by water baptism, dead noise. Salvation by communion only, dead noise. Oh, there's some fruitless ministers right now. Beware the axe. Some profess how much they love Jesus, but never obey him. And oh, how sweetly they talk about him, but they never do a thing for him. Beware the axe. Some who claim certain gifts, but never use them. Another class are those who profess much experience. Oh, they've had so much experiences. They can tell you about their deep experiences and their humbling experiences and their mountaintop experiences. And they know the depths of corruption and they know the heights of divine fellowship. And they have been to every Pentecostal meeting from 1938 until now. They have followed every movement but God's. They have never listened to the Lord. Never. They can tell you all about what's going to happen to you when you get to heaven, and they're not even going there themselves. They wear no makeup, and they wear old clothes, and they make themselves look as ugly as possible, and many times they're covering up a whole lot of sin. Say amen, somebody. Hear me now. They've been to heaven and back, and yet you go to their place of business and they're doing all kinds of underhanded things, full of corruption, dead man's bones, going to their homes and they're fighting like everything, void of all love. Fighting! And then we have to mention the others who have censorious tongues. What good people they must be. They see all the faults in everybody else so plainly. How they raise their children. Isn't it funny, after we raise our kids, we can tell everybody just exactly how to do it, like we never had any problems at all. We tell people they tell people they're not praying right, and how much they love, and so on and so on and so on, and then they'll go to this church and that church. That church isn't right, we got out just in time. Yeah, people found out about you. That's why you got out just in time. Say amen. Now the preacher seems good, but we know better. We've been through all these movements before. That's it. You just made movements. You never made a move towards God. And wherever they go, they see every deficiency within the church. And they observe that very few carry out the Scripture as it should be carried out. They complain for a want of love, and they say, where is the love? Where is the love? And the very things they complain about usually is what's wrong with them. They have no love. They show their own leaves but have no fruit. They are nothing but the great pretender. Here they are. I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of them around. Just leafy. Bearing no fruit. Causing problems. Looking like the real McCoy. But bearing no fruit. But they're nothing but deceivers with these high soarings and proud boastings. I kind of thought they were like these candles with big wicks with no tallow. When they go out, they make a foul, nauseous smell. I wonder how many churches this morning are compromising the gospel. Some with no gospel preach, full of rituals, fig trees with no fruit. And I, by my own choice, have put myself in the place of sevenfold damnation, by my own choice. I've taken on the responsibility of coming under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and oh my, that is a heavy responsibility. Say amen. There are so many voices out there that want to tell you exactly what Jesus is telling you. My God. My God. And it never stops. Jesus is telling you this, and Jesus is telling you that. Man of God, if you're listening to me today, you listen to the Lord. Remember, sevenfold comes to the preacher that doesn't lead his sheep in the way that God calls him to lead them. Say amen, somebody. Yet that man will go to heaven. He'll go through fire. He'll build out of stubble, straw, and hay. I'm not preaching right now on the salvation of the person, but there'll be no rewards. How many are hearing this today? You think it's easy to be a preacher in the gospel in the end times? My God, people come up and they got all the scriptures and they got it all down pat and they want to tell you exactly what God is telling you. God speaks firsthand, people, and God is going to speak to you firsthand. And then if the preacher gives you something or the preacher gives you something, it'll just be confirmation on what you already know in your heart. God deals with you. There's so many people that want to take over for God. Well, God is saying this to you, and I believe God is saying that to you. We need to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ because the flock is going to be scattered. We're going to have to go underground, and there isn't going to be all these people there. They'll probably run for the hills. They'll probably be, some of those people will just be leafers. Woo-hoo-hoo! And he said this, and he said that, and this is happening, and so on. Oh, yeah. How many know there's a whole lot of movements that were just leafy? There are no more.
Say amen, somebody. It's only the preaching of the gospel that's going to keep anything or any church alive. Say, it's not going to bear any fruit either if it doesn't. Well, let me finish this message here. I have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. You pray for your pastor that he receives direction. But don't come in off the top of your head and tell the preacher that the Lord told you to tell him. It's not scriptural. Say amen, somebody. Pray for the preacher. And listen, all you who want to serve God, count the cost. If you want to take on a ministry and you want to be responsible for people, count the cost. And allow continual grace to make you fruitful. And I'm going to give you something that will encourage you today with this heavy message. Yes, if you're born again, you have the root which causes you to bear fruit. Isn't that great? And now you unsaved will come and bear fruit, but first you must be born again and receive the root. You don't have to worry about it. It's a finished work. You receive the Lord Jesus Christ and you will bear fruit. You know why? Because it comes from the root. It doesn't come from something, fruit that you hang on yourself, someone else's good works. It comes from the root. It comes from a repentance and it comes from a turning to the Lord, and you will bear fruit. Amen. And all you have to do is open up your mouth. Like I said there, wasn't that a precious revelation? Their word. You're saved by the word of your testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. And anyone sitting in here listening to the sound of my voice, if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the word that Jesus has already put in there before the foundation of the world, you'll get the root. And the root will cause you to not only have leaves, but you'll bear fruit. Just like what you see right here. Isn't that easy? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful that we're serving a God that has a finished work? Say amen, somebody. And this is a message you must take out. You must be born again, and the fruit will follow. Say amen. The fruit will follow. It's not of yourselves. It's of the Holy Spirit. Say amen, somebody. Let's give a hand for these three characters here. You think about this today, though, about all these that are out there, don't look like nothing. The time of the fig has not come yet, but it's coming. The latter rain is about ready to fall. And God is going to cause an increase. See, God is the one that causes the increase, and God is going to cause an increase, and we're going to go from this to this. God is going to raise up the low base, perverted things of this world to confound the wise. And so sometimes it looks like it's going kind of slow, but God is preparing hearts to receive the word. More and more souls are going to go to Jesus in the next year, year and a half, 2 years than have ever come to the Lord before by personal one-on-one witnesses, by people, praying. Well, Jesus is praying for them. And when Jesus is praying for them, you can go over there and they'll receive and Jesus has prayed for them. You know that they are the redeemed of the Lord. Hallelujah. They just haven't been called yet. You might be looking at the lowest thing you ever thought you saw, but it's a redeemed of the Lord. Say amen, somebody. Let's give a hand to the Lord here today. Woo! I'll say one more thing before I close here. Remember that Jesus said, ye can do nothing without me. You redeemed of the Lord, but not called yet. You no leaf, no fruiters, call upon him and receive the root, and you'll bear fruit. And you that have been born again, pray that God do some pruning on you so that you'll multiply what God has already given you. That's just a little simple message here. Did you get anything out of this message today? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Let's hear it for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Maybe you're like this stick here. Right there? Come on up front here. Come on. Come on. Anyone else? Anyone else? You feel just like this? You can go right up and stand on stage here, Tom. Anyone else? Don't go by appearances. Ooh. This is a redeemed of the Lord. Not called yet. Jesus is calling right now. Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. Someone out there feel like this? Not worthy? Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. And don't let fear get at you. Say, oh, I want to make sure. I want to know today. Without a shadow of a doubt, I want to know. And you can. Anyone out there that doesn't know for sure? Huh? You feel just like this old stick here? Oh, that's beautiful. Jesus sees it as a finished work. You can't see it yet, but it's just covered with leaves, and the Spirit see it, and it's covered with all His fruit. Anyone else in here today? Anybody? Okay. You really have a desire to bear fruit for the Lord, and you want to come in to know Jesus, you know you are going to bear much fruit, Tom. And you know what? You got a lot of friends out there that will need your ministry. It'll mean that there are certain things that Jesus will help you put down. You know what I mean? Certain things that will just fall off, won't they? Fall off. Different habits will fall off. Just pray with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. And now, Jesus, baptize and fill me with God's Holy Spirit. Give me wisdom and knowledge, peace, joy, and love, and Lord, a new language to praise your holy name. Praise God, I am saved and filled with God's Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Announce your wedding.
Okay.
Tom is working down here in the kitchen, and one day we were talking about marriage and so on like that, and was it another person? And he's been going with, it's 3 years now, isn't it? Three and a half years they've been going together, and he got convicted in his heart, and the seed was planted there, you know, and now this Thursday at 7:30, if you're all invited, but you can come on down here, and Tom here is going to get married.
Diane.
And Diane get married. You want her to come up? Come on up, Diane. Come on up, Diane. And Diane, she's been donating time down here, and Tom's brother, and but the Lord brought him here. Yeah, just a couple of those sticks there. See there, they were redeemed, but they hadn't been called yet, and they came here and they got called.
Amen. Woo!
That's good. That's good. Yeah. And he just got done saying, he says, I really feel great. You know, now you're not a stick in the mud, you're a stick in the root. See? Oh, but it's great, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And you were coming closer and closer every day. And I know that Tom and Diane here are going to be used on the north side here for the deliverance of a lot of people. And, you know, certain friends will say, oh, man, they freaked out on us. And we're going the way of the Lord. But, you know, you keep up your testimony and get those figs on first. Because they're going to be looking. Because they've seen so many leafy Christians that they say, oh, man, that's that phony. They know. The world knows a phony when they see it. They know people that come out of churches not born again and so on like that. They know it. They know that right away. They say, oh, yeah. We should. Oh, really great. Uh-huh. Well, uh-huh. Yeah. But they also know. They also know if there's a stick right there, like that is right there, like that the fig tree, and it starts bearing fruit, they'll say, you know something, that guy's changed. He's bearing fruit that he never bared before. So there's something different. And they'll keep watching you, waiting for the fruit to fall off and rot and everything else, but the root's going to keep it nice and healthy, see? All the old habits will fall off. And you know what the old habits are? They're manure, and they drop right down, help fertilize. They help fertilize that tree, see? And so... And don't worry about it. That old stuff will just drop off. And don't get your eyes on it and stretch and strain. It'll just fall off, see, as you keep going in the Lord. And pretty soon the fruit will take over. And the tree will get stronger and stronger. And the root will take over. And it'll impermeate your whole lump. And pretty soon your branches will start to grow. And praise the Lord, there's going to be buds and flowers on your tree. And there's going to be leaves all over it. And people say, I know there's a lot of leaves there and everything. And they kind of look like some of them other ones. But they got fruit because I have tasted of them. And I know that they are good. Say amen, somebody. Woo! Let's hear it for the Lord. There you go.